Let us turn in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. We're beginning the 11th chapter tonight. Welcome the people at the missions to our study and every family on the tape plan. And of you here in the Metropolitan Tabernacle, we have a good crowd here tonight. So the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, it's a gracious chapter, as all of God's Word is. We'll study it together. I want us to read through it. You brought your Bible. Let's read through it. The 11th chapter. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, and it do well for every one of us to take it to heart for us here tonight and in this day and time that we live. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. That's the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I deliver them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. Now, man's head is God. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head. For that is even all one as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God. But the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman was created for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. Judge in yourselves. Is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. Of course, we'll explain all of that as we get into the study of these verses. Now, he's speaking to them, he's writing to them about the Lord's table, the Lord's Supper. Now, in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper. And one is hungry, and another is drunken. What? Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. That's a gracious chapter, isn't it? The 11th chapter. There's lots there. I know usually when I approach these chapters, I said, now what will I learn here? What will the Lord teach me here? And I know within myself I do not have the capacity, it seems, to take in all of this, seemingly. My vocabulary is nothing to talk about, and yet the Lord gives us the capacity to receive these things, to learn them, and then be able to expound them, teach them. But I approached many times the scriptures with fear and trembling. I do. With fear and trembling, I approached the scriptures. I must always seek the help of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, to guide me in the Word of God. That I will give, thus saith the Lord. Now, all of these scriptures are life, and they're all God-breathed, every one of them. And there's something there for everybody. I've learned that, and as I mentioned to you before, I can go back over the scriptures, the chapters that we have already studied, and see more now. Many times I do, I'll go back over my notes and read them and reread them and see where I could have put this in there and so forth. You know, you learn. And it's amazing how the Word of God never grows old. It's new all the time. And there's always some new thoughts new jewels, you might say, there that we didn't see before, but now I see them. And so when I approach, I know I'm not going to give you everything concerning any one particular scripture. It's hard, because we would be on one scripture itself for so long a time, we'd never get off it, because you stay right there, especially that one scripture in that first verse, "Be ye followers of me, even I also am of Christ." There's lots of rich feeding grounds in there. So that's why I continually ask you to pray for me and to just bear with me in many of these studies, because we do need the Lord's help. We need the help of God's people, their understanding, and you have shown that. And I praise the Lord for it. The Lord has made me what I am. He certainly has. I have to give him all the glory. Everything I know, I've learned of the Lord. He's taught me everything. And he's a good teacher. The Holy Spirit is a good teacher. Now, I want to review this 11th chapter. If you remember studying the 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, the closing out in that 30th verse down through the 33rd. Listen to it. For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that for which I give thanks? Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. We've dwelt so much on that lately, and especially in our Bible school of the air. Whatsoever we do, you do all to the glory of God. Whether you're Paul was speaking then to the masters of his day, the slaves, and we brought it up to date, speaking to the employer and to the employees, that whatsoever we do it all to the glory of God, with an eye to God, remembering that his eye is upon us always, at all times. And we're not to please man, but to please God. And many times we'll do things that might not please men. And we might do our work and do the best we can, and they may yet be not pleased with our service. But remembering that God is pleased with us, that's the greatest concern of the soul, of the individual, the Christian who's saved. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit. Now what he means by that, we saw over, I believe it's, let me see, where he said, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. All things, he said, he became all things that are lawful. He didn't sin with them. He didn't go out and get drunk with them and exploited his passions and lusts and things. No, he didn't do that. He doesn't mean that. And there are some preachers who will translate that as such. So you know the Apostle Paul said he became all things to all men, so therefore I can go out and drink with the drinker and get drunk with the drunkard and be a companion of the world and go in their barrooms and their dance halls and their picture shows that I might win them. And there's not a one that's been won so far out of them. Not a one. In fact, they became contaminated, and it was a good sign that they weren't even saved. They're not saved, people who talk like that. They are not saved. They cannot be saved. Because we learn to come out from among them. Now, this chapter 11, I want to review that. In our study of this epistle, and this is important, what I have to say to you tonight, We have noticed that in the first six chapters of this 1 Corinthians, the apostle deals with such questions as divisions among Christians, schisms of various kinds, immorality, getting into the church of God, all of these things getting into the church, Christians going to law one with another, and other things that disturb the peace of the church. We saw that in the first six chapters. Now let me say this. There are no circumstances that can arise. There's no sins that may cause trouble and distress. No irregularities that may appear that are not already met and provided for right here in the epistles that we have studied. The Holy Spirit, through inspired men, gave instructions concerning these things. And all that you and I need to do is today is to walk in obedience to the Word of God. Let's remember that. Beginning with chapter 7 and going right on to the end of the epistle, Paul takes up certain things concerning which the church wrote for instruction and help. If you look at chapter 7, verse 1. Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. In chapter 7, the Apostle Paul deals first with the question of marriage and divorces. Marriage and divorce. The relationship of a Christian wife to an unbelieving husband. We had that study, just as clear as can be. And then in chapters 8 and 9, he takes up the question of meats offered to idols and the Christian's relationship to idol temples. In chapter 10, we just completed, he shows how carefully the Christian ought to walk apart from everything that savors idolatry. We saw that. And now in chapter 11, the apostle touches on another problem that was disturbing the early church. In order to properly understand this portion, we need to visualize conditions existing in those times. Of all the great cities where the apostle preached the gospel, now you get this, none was worse in character in this respect than the city of Corinth. It was noted for its artistic adornment, its luxury, and licentiousness. And that word, licentiousness, carries the meaning of lawlessness and immorality and unrestrained lust. Do you know that we are rapidly getting into the same condition? For we are living in a day when everything like purity and chastity is looked upon as a joke, and people are indifferent in regard to personal morality. You take the literature of our days. They are filled with filth and impurity. Theaters and picture shows are characterized by the same thing. Low ideas of morals and behavior are prevalent everywhere. Now remember, Corinth was a city in which this could be seen at the very worst. And we're rapidly approaching such a time. Do you know that, my friends? I mean, it's just disregard for everything. In that city, looseness of every kind had to be faced by the early church. And the apostle was writing, desirous that women, listen, should not permit anything in their behavior that would allow the least suspicion upon their purity. Talk to the Christian women, those who want to be saved. Loose living women, now how were they identified in those days to the apostle? Loose living women, in those days they went bareheaded. They went bareheaded. And they were found in the streets seeking those who might be companions with them in their sins and wickedness. Women who sought to live in chastity and purity were very particular never to appear in public unveiled. Now we're talking about the ancient times, back in the times of the Apostle Paul. The unveiled woman was the careless woman, the immoral woman. The veiled woman was the careful wife or mother who was concerned about her character and her reputation. I know I got some idea of that during World War II when I was over in Africa. And the women over there, they were all, had their faces hidden, just had their eyes showing. And their men, I tell you, their men folks were very jealous over them too. And if you were to attempt to pull down that veil from their face, it would bring about a fight, a killing, as it were, I've heard the story while I was over there. And they used to caution us, the soldiers and all, how to behave ourselves among such women. And they believed in their religion. And they believed in purity. I'm not saying all of them, because you had those who were exposed and didn't care, with open faces and all, inviting individuals, immoral women. So the unveiled woman was the careless woman. In other words, the immoral woman. The veiled woman was the careful wife or mother who was concerned about her character and her reputation. And shouldn't we all be? Every one of us here tonight, out in radio land, be concerned about our character and our reputation. It would seem that after Christianity came to Corinth, and women who were saved rejoiced in a liberty they had never known in the old pagan days. Some of them, of these Christian women, were inclined to be rather careless and indifferent as to the customs of the day, and were saying, what were they saying? Well, along this line, we are all one in Christ now. We're all one in Christ. And Paul himself taught us that in the new creation there is neither male nor female. And so there is no reason why Christians should be subject to any of the practices of the day. In other words, what these Christian women were saying, we can assume is this. We can go unveiled and bareheaded in public places, and we need not be concerned about it. Now, we're speaking about the Apostle Paul's day. Now, this procedure is what prompted the church at Corinth to write to Paul to get his judgment in this matter, and this letter is his answer. Now, that's more or less of an analysis I gave you of the chapter. And so, give you the, then as we study along, then you can see what the Apostle Paul, the trouble that they were having at Corinth. There were many things going on in the church. He had to straighten up their hearts and minds Just like we have to have our minds and hearts straightened here on many things concerning the Word of God. I think it's because of ignorance, because we do not study the Scriptures. We do not take time to study the Word of God and see what's in there for you and I, your mother, your father, your husband and wife, children. It's there for our instructions. They didn't have the Word in the early days like we have it today. They had the Old Testament Scriptures. And here were Christians tottering, staggering. And Paul couldn't be every place at one time. He laid the foundation at Corinth. He laid the foundation Christ. But as in all churches, Christian churches, you'll find individuals getting into those churches and causing all kind of disruption, contentions, and schisms, and divisions, and bringing in heresies, and things like that. And so Paul, praised the Lord, they had some members of that church who were interested in the church, in the growth of it, and knowing what Christ did for the church, who were interested enough to write to Paul and ask him questions concerning about these things that are going on. Is this supposed to be? Give us some knowledge, Paul, along these lines, so we'll know how to adjust this church and its members, and to be different from the world. Well, the Apostle Paul opens that 11th chapter, that first verse. Here was his answer. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Let's read that again. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now, he didn't hesitate to write them and tell them that he was a follower of Christ. He was sure of it. He knew it. And just like I can tell you myself tonight that I'm following the Lord Jesus Christ. Following him. Some commentators believe that this verse belongs to the previous chapter and should not have been separated from it. They say it is the close of the discussion of this 10th chapter. But, however, it's in this 11th chapter, so let's go on. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now, what does the apostle mean here? That is, be imitators of me. Be imitators of me. The word followers, be ye followers of me, means now you be imitators of me. Now, I tell you, it's the position of a pastor, a leader, elder, is a responsible position. Because that life has to be up and up to the glory of God. I could not ask anyone to be a follower of me if I'm not following Christ and living for him and separated unto him. Be ye followers of me. Be imitators of me. In other words, live as you see me live. That's what it means. Live as you see me live. Paul had introduced his own example to support what he was teaching. Now he urges the Corinthians to imitate what he had done, even as he imitated Christ, so that they may grasp that this is exactly what they are required to do. You have to praise the Lord for a true leader, a true pastor. The late pastors often said, A church is blessed when they have a saved pastor, a true leader, and you can follow. And you know who is following the Lord Jesus Christ and is presenting him to you. Now, this is exactly what Christians are required to do, is follow God's leaders. In other words, the Apostle Paul is saying, I'm about to give you instructions, that is, instructions which I have a right to give as an appointed apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. I seek in all things to be subject to Christ. Now, he sought that. And every God-called pastor, he seeks that. He wants to be subject to Christ. Now, when he speaks, the apostle goes on to say, when the Lord Jesus speaks, I endeavor to obey. Now, in what I'm going to put before you, I trust you will have the same spirit that you will seek to follow me in this, to be led by me as I seek to be led by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's two things that's to be noted here. I'm not going to keep you long. I'm just going to let you go. I just wanted to get the analysis of this chapter and this first verse. And then we'll go right into the rest of some more next week. Now, let's note two things here. First, Paul does not tell others to do what he himself had not first put into practice. He does not ask others to do things that he did not first put into practice himself. And second, he points himself and others back to Christ as the one example. Oh, you remember him writing to the Philippian church? Writing to them, he said, let this mind be in you as it was in Christ. Let this mind be in you as it was in Christ. Always pointing them to Christ. And we should all be imitators of him. Be imitators of him, Christ. So he always pointed the Christians back to Christ as the one example. Christ's pattern is a copy without a blot, without a stain. Oh, looking to him, gazing upon Christ, learning of him, learning of his meekness, of his humility, of his love, of his compassion, learning of Christ. Yes, he is the great pattern. We should follow no leader who does not follow Christ. You get that? We should follow no leader who does not follow Christ. Now, that is why we must be all the more careful about keeping to the teaching of God's word, to the effect that we are only to follow men, provided they have Christ as their model, and not a denomination, not a certain church, or not anything else, but to have Christ as their model. You and I, do we have Christ as our model? Pattern our life after him? The Apostle Paul made Christ his example and model in all things. What do you mean by that? Just this. The whole picture of Christ's life stood before the eyes of the apostle. The whole picture of Christ's life stood before the eyes of the apostle. To follow such a one, we cannot err. We can never go astray. Following that individual, that's following after Christ, who always, as it were, I'm not talking about a vision or a light. I'm talking about Christ as he's revealed in the heart by the Holy Spirit. Always have him in view. Pattern your life after him, the Word of God, conducting our life and making known unto others Christ, talking about him, living for him, walking with him. He's my model. He's my pattern. He's my life. Breathing through us as his child. To follow such a one, you cannot err. You cannot go astray. You can't go astray. I want to turn in closing to Hebrews, the 12th chapter. The 12th chapter of Hebrews. And everybody turn your Bible there to the 12th chapter of Hebrews, beginning with the first verse. Listen, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Let us lay it aside now. Just lay it aside, every weight. Every weight. Now, what is it that's dragging you, that's holding you back? What's holding you down? What's got you tied down? What keeps you like you are? Lay aside that weight, my friend. You know, Lord never asks us to do a thing unless he has the power to give it to us, to do it. And he does. He gives us power. And therefore, the believer has the power to lay these things down. It's the power of God that worketh in us to will and to do to his own pleasure, for his own good pleasure. Now, what weight it is that's hanging on you, that's got you, that keeps you from coming to Christ? What is it? What sin that's bothering you and that's got a grip on you? All right? Ask God for the grace that it may be released. And his power broken over you. Laying aside every weight. Every weight. Lay aside that lust. Those earthly affections. Lay aside all of this self-gain. Or self-reputation. As far as the world is concerned. Lay aside these things that burden you down, such as perhaps your home or your businesses or your money, your stocks and your bonds. You're concerned about them. You're worried about them. And your life has come to a stop. And you have stopped along the way. You have let this thing arise in your heart. It might be rebellion crept in there. Or jealousy, or contention, which causes divisions, or you have become disobedient in the home as a wife. Drop that weight. Cry to the Lord for release from it, to give you grace. That can fit almost anything, whatever it might be. I cannot begin to name the number of weights, the many weights that we carry, and there's no need for us to carry it. That's holding us back. But let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, or that bothers us and that entangles us. Let us lay it aside. And the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run. Run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking to where? Looking unto Jesus. Now he's the pattern. Looking unto him until you are molded into his image. until you take on the appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have such a love and such a compassion and such a meek and humble spirit. Oh, take on the likeness, the appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ as you're taken up with Him in the Scriptures. And your life is being molded, made in the image of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. How many has heard the story about the stone face? How often did our late pastor give us that picture of a young boy as he lived out in the mountainous area and had the face of a man upon that mountainside. And this young boy, since the time he was a little tiny tot and grew up to notice anything, he would go out that back door and look at that face on that mountainside, just look out of curiosity. And no telling what was going over his heart and mind. And every day that he made it a habit to come out and look at that face. And when he grew up, grew up into manhood, they said he looked so much at that face that his whole appearance turned into that image on the mountain. And my friends, that's what it means by looking to Christ, looking to the Lord, being molded into His image. The Apostle Paul said, "Let this mind be in you." What mind is he speaking of? He's speaking of the mind of Christ. Isn't that wonderful? And when you study the life of Christ in the Scriptures, you find that He was meek, He was lowly, He was helpful, He was loving, and fulfilled. He had all the fruit of the Spirit, and always willing and ready to help, always full of compassion. He said, "I always do my Father's will. I always please Him." And should you and I, who name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, should we not try to please Him, to please Christ? Can you and I say that? No, I'm afraid not. And perhaps we'll never be able to say that I always please Him. But it's always looking to Him that we put on Christ. Put on Him. And the more we put Him on, the more glorious He is, and the more real and more assured that we are in Him. And you'll keep looking until you go to glory. Then you shall behold Him in all His glory. I don't believe it'll surprise you when you see Him. Because we learn much of Him in His Word. Oh, may the blessings of our Lord rest upon His Word as we brought it to you. Time went by quickly, and we must end. But next week, let us take up the second verse. Many verses the Lord will lead us into, and the 11th chapter. I'm glad you came tonight. Glad you're listening in Radio Land. And God bless you. Let us hear from you. Let's stand.